Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Today's guest has been on BET's 50 Central, a finalist with NBC stand-up competition featured on BuzzFeed, Refinery 29, Huffington Post. A few years ago was the winner of the Yonkers Comedy Festival, and it's all him. I'm not saying we deserve praise, but we were judges. Ladies and gentlemen, Usama Siddiqui.
What's up?
How you doing, Usama?
Chilling.
Yeah, you are.
I can't tell if you were heckling your...
Oh, no. I was hype-manning my own credits.
Okay.
I'm my own Migos, I think.
Some news real quick. KeithandTheGirl.com/invite. That's an invite for you. For free in Philadelphia. We're going to be inducted into the Podcasting Hall of Fame. We want you there. It's completely free. And email us that you're coming. Let us know so we can say hi, all right? So, of course, our email is info@keithandthegirl.com. And again, all the information, keithandthegirl.com/invite. And I have the results of my album cover poll.
Oh.
Which Usama was nice enough to open for that
so
very
fun.
Show. Got everybody in a great mood. And this is
Whoa.
The cover.
That's just a heart. Holy shit. Drip, drip. This is either the coolest or the rapiest cover I've ever seen. Drip, drip. You know what time it is.
The heart wants what it holds.
The heart. No means yes this summer.
So we were discussing the different font choices, but this version won at 70% of the vote. So thank you for looking at our forums and voting. It's important.
Ugh, that makes me feel so much better. Making those decisions sometimes, it is just harder than anything.
Right.
It looks actually awesome. I'll be fucking honest.
Thank you.
Oh my God.
Now, by the way, and I don't know style, you know, so I need to know people's opinions.
How do you look good in that tank top that it has stains on it?
Thank you.
That's the nicest stained tank top I've seen all year.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're laughing, but I pick up the newspaper and I see Justin Bieber is now engaged.
Oh, sorry. That's not it. That was very honest.
You can't hide yourself. I like it.
To Hailey Baldwin.
So cute.
And Hailey's a model, right?
So hot.
And
drip, drip. Am I right?
And she has on like a suit almost. Just pants, a jacket. And all it is entirely blue with the word Versace written all over it. Mm-hmm. Explain style to me, Usama.
That is above my pay grade. What I can explain to you is what Justin Bieber's wearing, which is
a t-shirt and shorts.
That's the Keith, I think, is the official term for that style.
He looks homeless chic, I guess.
Homeless chic, dude. He looks like the nicest guy who lives under a bridge. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the guy you go to for all your advice if you're under a bridge.
Like, how'd you make it so well under here?
Oh my God. Yeah. It's because it's made to be comfortable during trash fires. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of style that he wears. I feel a lot of times you see these Hollywood celebrity couples walk around and it's always that the wife or whatever, the girlfriend looks amazing. And the dude is wearing like a shirt that's 9 sizes too big. Right? You see like Leonardo DiCaprio just walking in like one huge nightgown or something and three sunglasses on his head. Like, what is going on with these daytime fashions?
You think Hollywood is like a little weird or biased or sexist or anything? Or you think it's just like...
I think straight white men know what's going to happen. And then I think we should listen to them going forward.
Is there a difference though?
That's my official take. Quote me on that.
Is there a difference between Hailey wearing an outfit that literally says, and I'm not exaggerating, I'll put the picture on keithandthegirl.com, that says Versace on it a million times, or if she had an outfit that had dollar signs all over it a million times?
Right, right.
Honest to God, is there another way to make you seem down to earth?
I don't know what it is, but I like that view. I like that outfit. Maybe I'm still in the matrix of where I value this, right? But I'm like, hey, that looks pretty shit. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe you're out of it, and so you know that it sucks. But I'm looking at this right now, and really, she is just so. I think when you're this hot, I guess you could wear anything, and you kind of look good. You know,
you think if it says something different, like Macy's, it
TJ Maxx, Ross Dress for Less. That's hilarious. There is a certain status that comes with the word Versace.
I mean, I wonder if that jacket would fit different.
Right? If it's a Ross Dress for Less, it's just one big grocery bag.
And they ask you at the checkout paper or plastic.
But you'd see that the next day, you'd see 9 Beckys out there just wearing Whole Foods bags, like,
that's
okay,
right.
What's up? Like, it's unreal what the value we put is just what people are putting. It's there's no real currency. It's just what.
Right.
Yeah. Like
the decision is made on the fly based on like, I guess we're all wearing things that say names on them now.
Right. But there's someone, it's not her that's wearing this. Someone else told her to wear this. So I'd be fascinated to like interview that person. Like, the person who sets the trends. Because it's never these people. They just wear what their manager tells them to wear that day.
Okay, but doesn't it seem like it's a Will Ferrell movie?
Okay.
He walked into the wrong building. All of a sudden, long story short, he works for Versace. And he's like, okay, if you like the name.
Right.
All the name.
Right, right. Everyone's like, of course. And then it becomes the next big thing.
Right,
that's hilarious. And then Bieber also wearing like what his middle school track team's jersey right now. And it's definitely a thing that someone said, wear this together outside. They don't get that choice anymore.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do you think someone told him to wear that? Oh, Andrea's nodding until her head comes off.
Nodding which way?
In the way that don't think love is real. This was all planned in that way.
The moment I met Andrea, I knew love wasn't real. You know what I'm saying? She is just like outside that whole frame.
It's that nagging.
Do you like to come on your bed? And I'm like, this bitch is too real for love.
You know what? Andrea knows that love isn't real, but she knows that heartache is.
Yes, and heartache is real. Wink, wink.
Did you guys ever date?
No, but I'm totally attracted to her though.
Okay.
Yeah, but like in that way that's like, oh, you're never going to fuck, but oh, you're so hot.
Would you go out with him, Andrea?
No, we're friends.
We're friends forever.
What does that mean when they say that? Because no, I like you too much. We can't give this a shot.
Andrew is one of those female comics I respect, which is a problem. You know, it was one that's when you respect the female comic, then you can't fuck them.
Do you want to elaborate on that? Or
next, back to the Versace.
Or do you just want the feedback later?
No. It's I think when you see someone who's like really really going for it. It seems like, cause like, I think in my soul, in my heart, I think fucking in your peer group that if you're a comic, fucking another comic is a bad idea on a base level. Even worse of an idea if you think that she's going to fucking be amazing or she's going to be a star.
So let me get this straight just for female comics out there. If they're lower than you or you don't think that they're going to make it, full game.
It's not that. It's that Andrea's so good that I can't fuck. Oh. And this is, again, this is not on me, my choice at all. But the idea is that if someone is amazing, that we're going to keep living with each other and in terms of like our passions and our career.
Hello, Andrea. Welcome to the show.
We can't fuck.
Fuck this guy. What do you have to say?
I'm in deep, but I'm still standing in. I'm still with it.
I stand by my husband and what he says. No, I totally agree with this.
Okay. If you see someone, and for guys too.
Yeah.
I think if a girl sees a guy like, oh, they're just like fucking some lame dude. Okay, well, fuck. It doesn't really matter. If you see a comic, we're going to have a relationship that's more than just sexuality. We should be more careful.
We will be co-workers for the future. You will remain in the industry.
Thank you for coming in here.
You're welcome.
I'm not leaving you there.
I needed you, girl.
Hold on
1 second. Usama, hold on 1 second. Because it sounds like you're speaking Bengali.
Okay. Excuse me.
Andrea, what the fuck is anybody saying?
Okay. So, like, I think me and Usama particularly, like, we started it around the same time in New York City.
Yes.
And we were in all these, like, horrible mics and still see each other there all the time.
Hold on your nervous slap.
Sure. No, there's a bond that forms when you start together that's like, we're in this shit. We're comrades. We are coworkers in a sense. And when you see a comedian who you like and respect, it's the same with females. You're like, I want to keep this relationship. We're going to continue to be connected professionally at some point. Like, for example, Hannah Boone is someone that I've been friends with since I started. I'm like, I hope to work with you one day, you know.
So you can never sleep with Hannah.
Sure. No, truly, sure. Okay. Because it's like, why would you? Because then there's a possibility of fucking up the relationship and then you don't have the friend amongst the ranks. You don't have the comic that is surely going to like book or produce something at some point.
Okay, but oral.
And it's
through a mic, it's fine.
Sure. I mean, and I agree with you that like you shouldn't shit where you eat in terms of like fucking other comics, but I have done it, but I will in the beginning
regret it.
Oh, totally. In the beginning, comics who were above me would sleep with me because they thought that I wasn't shit and I was gonna go away. And then I was like, ha ha, still here, bitch.
Do you like cum? Oh God, it's Andrea.
Oh, you moved back to LA.
It's not that you respect the human being less if you find that they won't do comedy forever.
Sure.
It's just you don't see that risk as much because, oh, you're just kind of doing this just to do it.
Okay.
But yeah, as a human being, of course, that's a whole different thing.
Sure.
Whereas when you add the professional element, like you said, it's like a whole different game.
It's not worth the risk. Not worth the risk. Not for fucking.
So let's say if I was in an office atmosphere, mm-hmm, you're talking about like, don't fuck your coworkers, but maybe fuck the temp. Because she's going to be out of there or he's going to be out of there.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so we're fucking temps and we're fucking freelancers.
The delivery guy.
It's not that we're fucking them. It's like, hey, do you want to go out? You know, it's on them too. They get a choice in this whole matter of Kemda.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that's who I'm like, you know, that's who, you know, the vibe will kind of continue. There's like kind of roadblocks when there's vibes, right? Like, oh, this is good, but she's this, or this is good, but he's this. Sometimes the vibe is much easier when there's not that sort of professional element as a roadblock.
Okay.
Yeah.
Keith, you good?
Thank you. That was beautiful by Andrea. Thank you. That was just
you're so welcome.
Oh, God. It's mm-hmm, just a shame, mm-hmm, that if each one wasn't lying in case the other one wasn't interested, they'd be happy and married now.
What? Never.
No.
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 Andrea, I can barely handle her for 20 minutes.
I know.
Like, 21st minute is when Andrea goes to shit. I'm like, okay, I'm done here.
I think
okay,
you were like, you're like Amy Schumer, but crazy. I'm like, thank you very much. No, it's like
I would never compare you to like a successful comic.
Thanks for that neg, bro.
Bro, oh my God, the tension here. Slice with a knife.
Well, yeah, it's like there's a level. I have lots of male comedian friends that I'm like flirtatious with in a fun way because I'm a flirtatious person. But I'm like, I'm not going to like be like, but seriously, though, you want to like hook up sometime? Like, what? What am I sliding to the DMs? Like,
you said that with the oldest lady. What am I sliding to the DMs?
I mean, I know that's your thing.
Oh, God. You guys are both good screamers. So I'm picturing this household.
Uh-huh. Oh, God. I think we'd give birth to just noise. It would just come out.
It would just be act out.
It'd just be, yeah. It would be a black baby.
We would give birth to like a Cat Williams.
Yeah. We'd give birth to a BET tape. Uh-huh. I think it would just come out of your pussy. Just like Earthquake's finest jokes.
Yeah. And I think that you have comics that you have a kinship with and the relationship always remains special. And
there's some comics you want to bang in a bathroom, you know? There's like the whole, it's like there's every, it's like people, you know?
Have you stopped yourself from banging in the bathroom because you think that woman will be like on your level successful?
No. If the sexuality is happening, I've already gone past all those roadblocks. So once it's like, hey, are we going to fuck? Then whatever we want to do is what we want to do. If you're going to fuck, fucking in a rooftop or a bathroom is the same thing. You're still fucking.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I just try to avoid fucking comics who are at a lower level than me because I also feel weird about it a little bit. It's also like I'm not.
But you can't go back, right? You've earned the right.
I guess right, so. I don't know. Right. It's also different. Like you're.
If she were to fuck a comic with Laura, she'd be on top for sure.
Sure, you know I would feel a little cougary. Right. I don't know what it is.
I feel like having sex with the novice in a place that you've been at 5 years. Like I would imagine a lawyer. Like let's say you're. Yeah, I like to compare it. Mm-hmm. Let's say your name is on, what do you call that? You're one of the partners.
Yeah, you
and you have a junior lawyer. Like no matter how old that lawyer is, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like you're still showing them around the office.
Yes, mm-hmm. There's a little bit of that. But I mean, again, if you take away all that bullshit and just look at the human element, okay, what kind of human is that?
We don't do that.
That's the problem, Kemda.
I swear to God, I will call you Bin Laden if you don't stop.
Let me ask you this. Thank you, Andrew.
Sure.
When you don't know if you're pronouncing somebody's name right.
He knows. He knows.
You think that's a deliberate
move? I always fuck up.
Hamda.
Is that a deliberate move?
No, he's being lazy.
No, okay. I'm being lazy and I'm being
but like if it's
lazy.
But if it's but if it's possible to get wrong, why go for it?
What? I see.
You know what I mean? If I'm not sure if it's Usama or Osama, I don't keep saying your name over and over.
I don't give a fuck. But Keith, easiest name of all time. I really don't give. I could not give a fuck. I think the most important thing is the energy. If you say Osama with the energy of a douchebag, then now here we are, right? If you say Usama with the energy of a douchebag, then it's all about the energy that you have to catch. I think, and the respect among two people. So if someone fucking it up, but it's like ignorance as opposed to malice.
But you're making it sound like I know I'm about to say Hinda's name. I'm not going to give it its full due. Like, it doesn't even make sense.
It's, I mean, again, I think so fast too that I'm just like not slowing down to say khamda, khamda, you know? And I feel like that's the only Arabic word you know is khamda. Like, Keith, that's the one word you learned and you're really holding on to it.
Oh, no, but Keith doesn't say my name because he knows he's going to get it wrong.
Yeah, why say it?
that's why I call him Keith.
Keith. Jeez, Louise. But that's definitely a minor thing for me. And so I guess if it's a minor thing for me, it comes outwards. If something's a minor thing for you, then you don't give that same level of seriousness to someone else who might view it as a more serious situation. Like, I don't care how my name's pronounced, so I might not really go for that specific pronunciation when I'm saying someone else's name, but that might be something that you're actually into, that, hey, please pronounce my name correctly.
No, it's just, you know, I understand where I am. Yeah. I'm in a country where that letter actually literally doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. So I understand people mispronouncing my name, but I can't help it. My brain goes, oh, right, you know, right. I can't help it. I hear, when you hear your name right, it does something, because I grew up with my name constantly being wrong. When someone says it right, I'm like, don't fall in love. Don't fall in love. Right.
That's the only requirement. Oh, jeez.
If somebody
calls kills people, but the chus on this guy. Oh my God.
Yeah, how wouldn't you notice? If somebody calls me Kevin, I don't go, well, he's coming from a good place.
You know what? I honestly can hear the Hebrew in some people. Like, I can hear the difference between Chemda and Chemda.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, the when an Israeli says my name, I'm like, you speak Hebrew. I can hear it in the way you say my name.
And when an Arab wants me dead, I can tell.
That's a very easy thing. It's always, by the way. That's a shoo-in.
I am half Arab, so yeah. It's okay.
An Arab wanting you dead, that's like a fortune teller being like, you have a birthday this year? It's right. The same level of probability.
Boy, you're really going for it with these fucking Arab jokes.
I'm going. I don't know. Maybe it's hot outside. I'm feeling a little antsy. I don't know what's going on.
This is insane.
I respect everyone. I love everybody, you know, but sometimes a joke needs a corpse, I guess. So,
by the way, Bieber is 24 years old. Hailey Baldwin is 21 years old. I know her from Drop the Mic. She says, you're watching Drop the Mic. And then Method Man does the whole show.
Yeah. The hot girl on the side is a very marketable thing, I think.
That girl's 21? Jesus.
He's Stephen Baldwin's daughter.
Yeah.
Beeb's security team told everyone in a restaurant to put their phones away because something was about to go down. That's when the singer proposed in front of everyone at an eatery where salsa dancing had been going on moments before. Bieber's father confirmed the news by posting a photo of his son on Instagram with the words, at Justin Bieber, proud is an understatement, excited for the next chapter. So he couldn't even let his son give the news. You know what I mean?
Also, I'm so like proud your 24-year-old son is marrying a 21-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
I'm worried.
But Stephen Baldwin is a super Christian. I think he was a born-again, insane Christian. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of super religious in like a not fun way. And I think this is exactly what a Christian wants.
And actually, Bieber went that direction as well,
right? I think so.
All right.
You know?
You know why I think he proposed? Because he got to tell everyone to turn off their phones, turn off the music, right. Stop doing everything, pay attention to me. And then once he made the announcement, he's like, wait, I got to follow through. But the Twitters were already out, so who gives a shit? I don't know. 24-year-old getting married. How old are you?
I'm 27.
When was the last thing you did like an adult?
Last adult thing I did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Right. Oh, God. Oh, geez. My laundry I haven't done in years. You know,
there you go.
Drop off. You know, that's for kids.
Bieber and Baldwin have been spotted out together in recent weeks after dating on and off in the past. Again, she's 21. When's on and off?
And when's the past? You know what I'm saying? 14? Jeez.
Also, on and off, why don't you wait until you're on for a while?
Right.
This is forever. I think people just like to plan big parties. This is why I think that people should have like other parties that equal a wedding, especially when you have a lot of money and you're just like, I just need to plan like mini hot dogs or like whatever people do in weddings now.
But here's my counterpoint to that. When people hear wedding, they're kind of ready to party. No one's like, oh my God, Justin's bris. Let's go crazy. You know, it's the wedding, which means party. So you can have a crazy party, but if it's a wedding, it's a certain type of party, which is actually, I think, an elevated, like a sort of party.
Oh, yeah, I agree. You know? Because if you start a new job and you're like, well, I have to take off, you know, in the second week that I'm working here for you guys, because I'm in a wedding, they will let you do that because they take weddings so seriously.
Yeah.
That's why I think if we all start putting importance on marrying ourselves and we get to throw that party, then you know, you like, oh, dude, this is going to be a wedding type event. So people will come. And then, but then I feel like we're only pushing on this horrible, horrible way of like spending too much money.
Oh, geez, I know.
For, and they charge you extra when you say wedding.
I went to India for my friend's wedding, one of my best friends.
Oh, they know how to live it up.
They know. And it's interesting because Indians are so repressed their entire lives until the wedding happens. And it's like every like 95-year-old Indian uncle just kind of like slapping booties and stuff. Like they go wild at these weddings. And then maybe it's like a release because they're so like, you know, there's such a intense culture of like traditionalism and don't show your emotion.
They're very reserved, right? I know when Hemda and I, we would do kids parties. I would see this when I was a waiter. I had Indians for busboys and everything was like,
gentle.
Would you like some?
They're very scared of like being deported. That's also a thing.
Like, is that what it is?
Like, yeah. Like they want to do the accent that's least deportable.
Right.
You
know? Like but- to get your attention, to get your attention, like maybe you would, you know, touch somebody's arm or their shoulder. It's the slowest, lightest, creepiest.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, absolutely.
There's also drip. At kids' parties, the kids would be the least enthusiastic. It was, and I think Middle Easterners, I mean, in my house, you wouldn't hire anyone to come to. So I think it's like, who are these people anyway? Why are we even being entertained by not us?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when we, Eastern people are also very reserved. Like,
so reserved.
Don't show skin. Don't, you know, don't even say you have a crush on someone. It's very odd. Like you're now a slut. You know? It's very weird. But then you go to my bat mitzvah and there's like, you know, there's a belly dancer and we are handing kids singles so that they can throw it at this woman. I went up and I put it in her bra. I put it in her, what is that called? I mean, I think she was wearing a G-string, but they have that bottom thing. I put it in and
G-string?
What part of the Torah is that?
And this, right, this is my family's there, my kids from school, the friends of my parents, like all their close friends. There's like 200 people at this event. It's black tie affair. It has all like the fancy shit. And here comes a belly dancer. She's got a sword on her head and she's twirling around. And I am belly dancing with her because that's kind of how we dance anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's like anything that all of this, if I was like surrounded by just your average like American white person, they'd be like, you slut, get back home. What the fuck? Like I was doing less at club. That's not true. I went all out in clubs. But if I did that at a club, like at a regular, like American something, it would be like, I would have to stay at home for the rest of my life.
The biggest double standard with, and I love that you're saying this, is that Indian moms will allow midriff when it's a sari, but will call you a slut when it's an American dress.
Yes.
It's like insane. That. It's like the belly button's being shown in both, but only one's a slut because it's traditional and it's right. And it's like, you're so in your frame. You're so caged by your own traditionalism that you can't see outside of anything.
And you're kind of making it up. Like, I feel eventually tradition is just like, wait, why are we doing this? Right. Like, shut up.
You're a slut.
Stop being a slut.
You're just a slut.
You can follow Usama's Twitter account at Usama Bin Laughing.
Okay, not a slut.
I laugh every time.
Usama Bin Laughing.
And he wrote, hate doing food deliveries to apartments. First of all, you're delivering food?
Not anymore, but I used to. Yeah,
okay.
For a little bit.
What kind of food?
Just Postmates, any type of food.
Okay. And when the door opens, it's an Indian doctor dude my age. Because he'll look me up and down and yell into his apartment, honey, come over here and see what I look like if I made all the wrong decisions.
Solid tweet.
Do you find yourself like looking in people's houses like, you look about my age, what do you got? Oh, the tub is in the bathroom.
Dude, it's only with Indian guys that look my age. That's the only time I get a little weird. Because I see the version of myself that, because I gave up med school to do this comedy thing. So I always think of that timeline of like, oh, if I did med school, then I would have been here at this point. And it's never a thing that ever affects me that much. But in the moment, I'll get little glimpses. And in those moments, they'll open the door. I'll see the doctor-y Indian guy who's like 27, 28. And I'll just be like, oh, that's me. I would have been resident right now. Right. I would have been at a hospital working in gynecology or something. or like pediatrics was my two ones that I was going to do.
You know, he calls his parents and thanks them for being so tough. Thank you for not letting me enjoy a magician kid's party.
Yes.
Because it's a scarf. Who cares?
And then he's like, you know, the other day I saw an Indian guy delivering food and I thought, what if that was me? And it's a real thing, but it's definitely not anything that stays there. It's very fleeting, that sort of idea.
Right. And yeah. You would tutor kids for SATs, right?
Yeah, I still do.
You still do that?
Yeah.
Anything all around, or do you focus on math or English?
Math, English, writing, anything SAT. Okay. Mostly rich white kids, Upper East Side. That's all the moms know each other, and I got like a network of moms. So I have no business cards. It's all just mom recommendations.
And you could still do it with the new math happening. It didn't switch.
Common Core?
Yeah.
You know about Common Core?
I mean, I know about everything.
You know what Common Core? So it's
Common Core.
Common
Core. Thank you.
You would hate this new joke I have, by the way. It's like, oh God, next time I see.
Is it just changing a C to a C?
No. It's a whole thing. And it's how Arabic sounds like you're sucking a dick, but it's a whole thing. But
what?
We have time.
It's about how I don't get why a lot of Arabians are so homophobic, because speaking Arabic literally sounds like you're sucking a dick.
Okay.
And it's like a whole act out and I'm sucking a dick.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I sound like when I suck a dick.
But the idea, it's actually shitting on homophobic Arabians, so it's a whole different
thing. I'm sorry, I just got a dick stuck in
Hold on.
That's so funny. You think any language doesn't sound like sucking dick? Listen to me right now. If you want to hear sucking dick, you'll hear me sucking dick.
Right, no. Sucking dick is a universal language.
You think when you speak Bengali, you don't sound like there's a dick in your mouth?
No, you sound like Arabic when you're like.
Andrea, I'd like you to isolate this whole show. We have some prank calls to make.
Oh God, I love it. Oh my God.
Do you find out how the kids do on the SATs? Or do you
Yeah. They always hit me up. And the first kid I got was a genius when I first came to New York. And so his mom was so proud of his son and thought that I was the main, like I helped him, but he was such a genius that he was going to get a 2400 regardless. So she literally like blasted my name out to every, there's like a network, and she just blasted it out. And I've been using that network for 4 years.
Did he get a 2400?
He got straight up a 2350, I think, like straight up.
Holy shit.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's so smart.
Out of principle, he refused to write his name down. You automatically lose 50.
It was insane. He knew he was that good. And it was insane. And like mom called me and she blasted my name out. And for 4 years, I've been working those contacts.
Was he a respectful kid? Like, was he like, dude, I don't get the fuck out of my face. I already have a 2400.
There are some kids like that who think they're the smartest kids ever. And I get some stupid kids all across the spectrum. And this kid had no idea he was that smart. He was just kind of like always hating on himself. Like, wow. Oh, I suck. I'm not going to get the grade I want. Because he had these crazy astronomical views of himself, almost insane, that he can never live up to his own ideal. And it's kind of intense watching this kid. He got a lot depressed very frequently. And I'm like, you are the smartest kid I've ever met in my life. But I think geniuses, when they don't know how to really relate on that same plane, they just, because I think they don't have the ability to connect with people sometimes because they're so smart.
Were you able to? Because
I pride myself on being very connectable. I think I can go into someone's world and be comfortable
and
there.
Just be stereotypical.
And uh-huh. Right. I did the Arabic dick sucking joke. He loved it. And then we were just best friends ever since. He's like, I know, right? It was on and off. Some days I'd connect and some days I'd walk away feeling very shitty. Like I couldn't help this person connect.
Are you a genius?
I'm not a genius. No way.
Like, you're helping people study SATs.
I'm smart.
Did you take your SATs?
Yeah.
And?
What'd I get?
Yeah.
I got a 2290.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, with the new math, I don't know if that's high or not. I know I was the first one done in my whole school at the SATs. I know that.
Yeah, but Keith,
what my mom said after I showed up the grade. Fuck you.
Back in the day, we were only able to get 1600 though. Yeah. So
I got a 2290 on a 1600 scale. Do you understand?
There's bonus points. You're bringing your own paper. I have more questions to fill out. How can math be different? And thank God that I didn't pay attention in school, right? Because now I can pick up things faster. I didn't know if Pluto was or wasn't a planet. And now I'm free to take in fresh information. You know? Is it easy to explain what new math is? What does that mean? Is everything base 10 now?
Common Core is a new way of describing everything. It's a way they start it literally at kindergarten, and it's a different way of working the numbers.
Okay.
And so for addition, subtraction, and even division and multiplication, they have a different style. I don't teach it. And it's a really weird way of working it. You could look it up, but it's just a whole, on a base level, it's different. And I think it's stupid.
Here's the main question. If I started learning it the way I did back in the day, or if I started learning Common Core, does Common Core, if you start from that age, break it down so that everybody gets math? And
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm not even well versed in Common Core. The people that teach are past Common Core, and they are looking for a standardized testing. I'm doing SSAT and IC for like high school admissions, or like Catholic school admissions, like HSBT, co-op, and stuff like that.
So they don't have to show their work. They just have to find the answer.
What I'm saying is for standardized tests, what I usually teach is not about Common Core. So really it's the standardized testing has its own rules and tricks. So I teach a lot of that, which is really adjacent to school and not in school.
Oh,
so
it's like, hey, when all else fails, click B.
Click B. Yeah, circle B. There's a lot of techniques that only work in testers and testings that kids who are in school don't learn. So that's why you bring in a third party to help you with the testing. So I don't even teach Common Core. I can't even really tell you that much about it. I just know that it's very different and very, very, like at a base level, it's different.
I thought Common Core was like, you know, exercise sometimes, eat ice cream when you want. Yeah, you know, apparently it's totally different. By the way, Blue Apron, Chemda, may I brag? I am so good at cooking Blue Apron.
Yeah.
I am done. They say it's like 20 to 30 minutes a meal they give you all the ingredients, you make it yourself. I'm done in 10.
Yeah, me too. 10, 15 minutes, because I've learned how to read what do you call those recipes really well. Mm-hmm. And so I know if it says start with here, like I used to start the rice last, let's say, and then you make all your whole meal. Now you're waiting 20 minutes for the rice, just things like that. So now I go in order. So by the time I'm finished chopping something, you got to throw it in the thing. I mean, this sounds trivial, but this is a dream come true for me, because my kitchen used to explode every time I cooked. All of a sudden I have to, like, how did this get over here on the floor? Now it's very organized. In fact, I just volunteered to help. I'm like, Andrea, if you ever want help making Blue Apron, we'll knock it out three at a time. I fucking love it.
I'm so good at it. And I do it on dates. And so, you know, let's get done with it too.
My Indian mom who cooked for her entire life, and that's her thing, and that's really what she's all about, loves Blue Apron. She is like, this is amazing, of course. And it's like, as someone who's like a lifetime like cook in the kitchen, just like totally vibe with it. And she doesn't accept any new technology or anything like that.
Right.
So she loves Blue Apron. She loves it.
That's awesome.
You will too. Check out this week's menu, by the way. Get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/KTG. blueapron.com/KTG to get your first three meals free. It's Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook.
And honestly, now that I'm single, that's my dinner for every night of the week, because no one's yoinking from me.
Yoinking. Oh my God. How old are you again? Yoinking. It's the bee's knees, this Blue Apron.
Usama, this is your, is this Facebook? I get confused between the different.
Yes.
Okay. So this is on your Facebook. So you wrote in June, I just passed my 4-year anniversary of moving to New York City. Congratulations.
Thank you.
To pursue comedy. People always ask me if I ever regret my decision to give up medical school for this current life. By the way, kind of rude if everybody's doing it, right? Do you regret it, though?
But do you regret it?
Okay. Yeah, they're not asking Amy Schumer if she regrets her life choices.
That's so funny.
Amy Schumer, you had a chance to go to school. Do you care?
Do you care? Right, it's so funny.
To be honest, in the past 4 years of living here, I have at certain points, ready for this list?
Oh, God.
Bombed in front of my idols. So they were probably judging a contest, perhaps?
No, just check spot in front of them before they go up.
Okay. Been homeless. Sure, you... But now you're
sure being, everyone's in.
You're being dramatic. You were trying to justify that on our show before squatting. Now it's homeless.
Before it's homeless. No, before the squatting, I was homeless.
Okay.
I was living on the streets. I was homeless.
Okay. How long on the
streets? For like, not on the streets. I was never on the streets. I was just homeless living on couches for like 2-3 months. Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah. That's homeless, I think.
Okay, I'm going to count that. Had to steal food from grocery stores to be able to feed myself.
Yeah.
What would you steal?
I would steal, I'd go to Fairway Market on 79th Street, and that was my main.
Shout out.
Oh, yeah. What's up? Thank you, Fairway. A lot of money that I lost. I'll pay you back one day. They had shitty cameras, and so I'd go there, and I would take one of those like pre-made sandwiches.
Right.
And I'd just walk out there, and I would stagger my stealings, because I would steal from there. I would steal from D'Agostino on 24th. And second, I would steal from Whole Foods on Union Square. Shout out to Whole Foods. I would also steal from Trader Joe's on the 72nd. So that was a nice little circuit there, the 79th Street Fairway on the 72nd Trader Joe's.
What would you steal from Trader Joe's?
They have the little, like, you know, the little almonds that you can get sometimes and, like, you know, the downstairs. Mm-hmm. So you can go down there, get a little pack. It was all packs. I was never stealing, like, just strollers full of stuff. It was like, you know, it was very slick. And I would stagger it out so I wouldn't hit the same place if I hit one place 1 week, or I would hit the other place another week. And I did this for like about, you know, a month or two, always stealing. And then I think one day it was like I felt that Aladdin ESP where I knew something was up. And I
one jump ahead of the...
Yeah. And
ahead of the TJ.
I took a sandwich and I could feel it. I just could feel something was off this time. This is in the 79th Street Fairway. And I walk out with the sandwich, and then I see like a small Mexican man underneath, you know, like outside the vegetable rack, right? They have a little, all the tomatoes and the, yeah. You know, you can peruse outside. So there was a Mexican guy like underneath the, like inside the, like there's like wooden things like holding up the fruits. He was inside the box, looking at me, wearing a Fairway shirt. And as I was walking, he was like following my walk. I could see him through the box, like following me. And I'm just like walking back. He walks back. I walk forward. He walks forward. So slowly, I kind of secretly take the sandwich
out.
And out, put it on one of the stands. And I just keep walking. He walks out. As I walk out, like reveals himself.
Wow.
He looks at me. He's very short. Looks me up and down. Doesn't see anything on me. And he just kind of like whispers puta, like under his breath. He's like puta. And then he walks away. And wow. I never steal again from any grocery store. Because basically at that moment I was like, fuck, I'm fucking playing with fire here.
Right.
Yeah. But he was this close to being like, got him and that's it. That would have been just like, I don't know what would have happened. Who knows? But that was the only time I was almost caught stealing.
And that's all it took?
That's all it took. I mean, I'm doing something. I regret it. It's not a good thing to do, to steal. And it's one of those things where when you start doing it, you don't even think about the morality of it. It's like, I need to eat. I'm going to steal. That's fine. I don't know why. And it wasn't even like a hardship thing. Like, oh, I'm doing such a hard thing. I just needed to eat. I didn't have a job at the time. I didn't have any money. I lost all my money when I came to New York. I was the first. I think when someone comes from New York, they have that moment where like they spend all their money because they don't know how to spend money. So it was at that first time when I hit that rock bottom. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I don't have any money. I need to eat. I have no job. I'm looking for a job. I still need to eat. So I'm just going to drop in here, get some food and leave.
Do you know what I think? And I totally understand that. I know I've been there. I know I've stolen because I'm like, I'm hungry, or like there's some kind of injustice about my pay. Like just, just in general, I was able to like justify it, you know, and then it became a thing that like, I deserve this, you know, it just very easily went into that, which is like, it's funny where people are like, oh, people are thieves. Like I would be able to blah, 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 blah. Like as soon as you go under a certain amount of money, it clicked on in me. It was like, I started getting angry at people. I started getting angry at kids for having technology. Why do you afford that $400 iPad? Like, I was like, whoa, this happened super fast. And I consider myself a really good person. And I'm like, yeah, this is a very easy switch. That's bad.
Yeah. And I look at, it's only in hindsight that you look back and like, oh, that was a bad part of my life. When I was in it, I was like, this is the most natural choice for me to do, just steal. And it's for me and fuck these corporations. And it's all this bullshit.
Right, it's so easy to be like, fuck
the corporations. Bullshit, all this total bullshit that you spout for yourself.
Yeah.
And I regret it. You know, it was not a good thing to do. But
well, here's the thing. I think that we forget, like, did you ever consider food stamps? Because people have a lot of ego based around that. And I'm like, that's not the government's food stamps. You're not being a shit. You actually pay for that. Like when the government gives you money, like when you're out of work or when you have hardship, people are like, well, I don't want a handout. Why do you think that that's a handout? You have paid into the system. You pay Social Security. You pay taxes on just buying a cup of coffee. So you're paying into the system. No, I don't want a handout. No one's handing you shit.
I was on food stamps for a little bit here, but I didn't have a real address at the time. So it was hard for me to get the food stamps. They have a lot of, so I went through that whole bureaucracy. They have a lot of stuff that they do to like stop you from actually getting the food stamps. And the newest thing they've done is they've made a requirement for you to work 20 hours at least to either part-time or community service to get the food stamps.
What?
Yeah. So now if you're not working at least 20 hours.
No.
And it's like, how would you? That makes no sense.
No,
right?
That's
true. It's true. I was on food stamps and I got cut off because of this rule. And because I put like, I work 7 hours a week or something instead of 20. And then they wanted me to like go into 13 hours of some sort of job training thing or at, like, it's like, don't you think if we had that, we'd have jobs or something? You know, like, yeah. It seems like a counterintuitive practice, but yeah, if you don't do 20 hours a week of something and then you can make it, then we'll talk about food stamps. But
I feel like that's just a step into corruption because someone's going to sign your thing. Like, yeah, he volunteered for 20 hours. I don't pay people.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Why is that the worst thing for them to say? You got to be working?
Because if you need food stamps, you might already be working and just need food stamps. You might not have the time. There's like, you are at a point in your life where you need help and it's not a handout. It's something that I paid you for. Hold this money. So sure,
situation where you're saying be working 20 hours.
Because you might not have a job. You might be in between jobs. You might not be able to get hired. You might not have a home. You might not have all of this stuff that they're asking for when you're asking for food. So if you don't have food, you can't do the other stuff that easily. I don't see why.
No, I'm totally 100% with you. It's like when you are struggling and they're like, hey, but you gotta be struggling while you're struggling. It's like, unless you're really, really struggling, it's like, it's kind of like a bully. You know, you want the food stamps? Are you working? But how much are you working? 20 hours? 19 hours? Sorry, but it's like, it's a bitch move, I think.
Been punched repeatedly in the face while on stage.
Yeah.
And that doesn't stop you, right? From picking up a scalpel.
When I got punched, my first thought was, how do I riff on this?
Wait. You got punched repeatedly by one person?
Yeah.
What'd you say? I mean, you say a lot of shit.
I do say a lot of shit, camera. It was...
I was just explaining how every time they talk, it sounds like they're sucking dick.
And an Irish guy. No, it was an Irish bar at Paddy Riley's, and I was doing a mic, actually. And then this guy was out super drunk, man. And he kept calling me a monkey. He's like, you fucking monkey. And he comes up right up to me on the stage, and I'm like, listen, buddy, let me do one joke. And if you like it, I'm going to get off stage. Oh, sorry, I'm going to stay on stage. If you hate it, I'm going to get off stage.
Wait. First of all, it's a mic. You have about 2 to 3 minutes. This guy got this mad at you. Second, every time he's calling you a monkey, do you respond?
This is like a couple of years ago. And he was so beyond drunk. We were trying to do jokes about it. Does not work. He comes up right here. And
right to your face.
He was calling, there's a black comic before me. He was calling him a monkey too. He was just saying random shit. And so he comes up.
For the record, not very random.
Not. Very not random, random shit. Right?
there happens to be a history.
Keith can sound right and still sound racist. That's how Keith is. He said, I love black people. What the fuck did you say, Keith? but yeah, he's calling, and it was such a one size fits all racist remark, you know? It works for brown and black. So he was just like, you fucking monkey. And he was right up near me. And, I was like, again, I'm gonna do one joke. If you like this, leave. If you don't like this, I'm gonna leave. And so the joke I say is the Indian version of How I Met Your Mother would last only one episode, entitled The Wedding, right? And he heard this joke and he punched me in the face twice. He punched me in the face twice, and then I walked back. My first thought is, how do I riff on this? How do I make this funny? And there's no anger in me. That's how much either I'm a pussy or I'm just that much of a comic. Right. I don't fucking know. And I scream world star. I just go, world star, world star, myself. Usually there's a fun black woman there for you to say it. But no women were there. No one was there to say, I world star myself. Nobody laughs. It's an Irish bar. They don't understand urban humor. And I bombed. And it's like almost like they were on his side. And I looked down and the black comic who was right before me, who is super jacked, and like he just like ran over, like put him in a headlock, put this guy in a headlock, started pulling him away. I'm like, dude, please don't do that. In this situation, only you're gonna get the shit on by the cops. So he like fucking released it. Wow. And then he like walked this white dude outside, and my black friend was gonna literally punch this guy in the face and literally just like assault this dude like for assaulting me. And I was like, I had to run out. After I finished my set, You gotta finish your set.
Wow.
No matter what, you gotta finish your set. I bombed, of course. So I did my set, ran out, and my black friend was about to fucking punch this guy in the face. And he was built, dude. This white dude was drunk as fuck, Irish guy. And I ran to him.
But like, your friend's about to fight Conor McGregor.
The drunk, not strong version of him. He's like, okay. And I ran out to him. I was like, dude, please don't punch him. Please, please, please. And I calmed him down and I walked him away. And as I walked him away, my friend yelled at like a scream. He was like, "Ah!" And he punched a metal door, and the metal door lost. It fucking buckled under my friend's punch, and it was the most intense thing I've ever seen in my life. And he was that mad. He needed the aggression out because he was so angry. He was so about to beat this guy up. And he punched a metal-ass door, and it just dented like deep. It was intense. And then we went to Dunkin' Donuts, and then we had some Boston creams, and it was fine.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was crazy, yeah.
Wow. Stared down the barrel of a gun.
That was in Bushwick, and this is like when I first came to New York, and I was living in a place that wasn't a gentrified part of New York, but it wasn't really dangerous to me. It wasn't really scary. And this homeless guy asked me, it was like really night, like 3 a.m. I'm walking away from the Gates Avenue stop, and I'm walking away, and this homeless guy was like, "Hey man, you got any cigarettes?" And I'm like, "Nah, man." And he's like, "Man, you got any food?" And I'm like, "Nah, I'm sorry, dude." And he's like, "Then what the fuck do you have then?" And he went, oh my God, he went inside.
His jacket.
Yeah, he had a jacket at least. And he pulled out, I don't even know if it was a gun, dude.
Could have been a banana.
It could have been something. But he pulled it out, and it was a black thing. And I don't fucking know what it was. And so when I saw that it was something in his hand, I didn't even think, people were going to either get frozen or they run. I just ran. I just fucking ran.
Did you run in zigzag?
No, that's the thing you learn, I guess, right?
Yeah.
I just ran. I just ran on Gates. I just ran straight. And I ran to my house, which is the stupidest thing I could have done. And I wasn't thinking. I just ran. And again, it could have been not a gun. Because I guess the zigzag thing I knew about, but I didn't think about it when you're that scared. I just ran. And then
he had a pipe, and he's like, "Why is this walking zigzag?" Yeah. And he's just walking.
It could have been an iPhone 3. I don't fucking know. but in my mind, in my heart, it was. And that guy wasn't in a mood where he was gonna he wasn't gonna show me a video. He was in that space. I could see it where he was like angry at something, and he was just kind of like, "Fucking something happened right before he saw me." I think, and that was he was in that space.
In life,
and then he was in that space. And I think a lot of that happens. A lot of times, people get shot. It's not about that moment. It's about the moment before that guy shot someone. And who knows? It could have been not a gun. It could have been
what
a fucking...
What if you remember completely wrong? It was a wallet.
It was going, right.
Well, man, what the fuck do you
have? It could have been something. Exactly. You look homeless. I saw you at the fairway on 79th Street stealing sandwiches. Here you go.
Wow, that's scary.
But yeah, it was definitely, for all kinds of purposes, it was a gun, and I ran away, and it was, oof, jeez.
I mean, just the tone was scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm that guy. Either I, in that situation, either I laugh or I run. Those are the only two
you
things.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. I mean,
if those are your two options.
Yeah. That's a fucking Cold 45.
In this list, you have seen grown men cry at the realization that they might not achieve their dreams. Yeah. You're like, you're talking to the wrong guy. I could have been a doctor. What do I care? What could you have been?
People, a lot of comics will sometimes, like, we all help each other out, right? And I feel like I help comics when they ask me. I try to ask for comics help when I need their help. It's like a brotherhood, right? And so, yeah, sometimes older comics will just talk about careers and stuff, and like, "Oh, Sam, you got all these things," and I'm shitting at my own career. I'm like, I don't have anything. I'm just working just like everyone else. And then they'll be like, "Well, you know me," and then it'll trigger themselves, and it'll be weird. But that's not a widespread thing. I'm not just like taking care of grown men across all five boroughs. But you know, it's happened a couple of times, and it's a little sad.
You start videotaping them?
World star. No. It's sad, and it's you know, what are you gonna do? Showbiz is one of the most insane things you can ever be a part of. And 90% of, I think, people who are in this open mic circuit or show circuit, not made it yet, we probably even overblow the percentage of people who are making it. We're like, probably like 70% make it. It's like 5%. Yeah. It's like 10% people who make it, not even. So the idea of you failing is a very real prospect. And I think people, the dream gets so ideal and so intense. Like, "Oh, I'm following my dreams. Yeah. It's such a beautiful thing. And you feel like so awesome. And every motivational quote, it's speaking to you. But you don't realize the reality is like everyone fails at this thing. And it's not like accounting where you can just do an exam and get it. And the realization that you're 42 and you're still at open mics That's intense. That's an intense thing too.
Dude, I'm 42.
Oh shit.
Wow.
You have right. this amazing, but that's a totally different thing. You know it's a totally different thing. You guys have this amazing
no, I'm joking.
Thing you're doing.
But to be a doctor, for example, I'm going to guess it's a high percent of doctors that make it. You go to school for those years. You go into this classroom, you study this thing. Just because you as a comic follow the rules,
right.
There's almost no chance you'll make it.
It's so insane. And it's genuinely an insane thing to do, this comedy showbiz thing, because it's, and acting is even more sad, I feel like. Because even if you're a comic who's not big, you have the stage, you can kill, and you have that sort of ego and validation, like, oh, I'm doing something. Actors just go to auditions and they get rejected for no reason. And that's got to be the saddest fucking showbiz story.
That's true. That's probably a little bit harder, although there's more parts for that, although comedians are taking them.
Sorry. Bye. Bye.
And he ends the list with, in short, I've regretted my decision not a day in my life.
Wow.
Also, fuck med school. And then ironically, he rates LOL. And then I assume cries. That was only 4 years. What to the next 4 years?
I assume cries. Ooh, it's hard to tap send when there's you know, salty tears on your touch screen.
Right? Yeah, has there really never been one day? I think about that. I'm just like, well, if I had a real job, I would have a real paycheck. And then as soon as I even start, even that sentence, I'm like, that's not true either. Mm-hmm. That's not true. I would have people being able to fire me on their whim. I would be aged out of some of the jobs. I would be like miserable because I'm on other people's agendas. I just, there's not, to me, it wasn't a world of I chose this knowing that it'll be like, to me, it was like, what's my next step? My next step is here. It can't be in this other place because that place doesn't exist. I'm never meant to be doing that.
People say it's so brave. It's like, oh, it's so brave that you're following your dreams. I think it's braver to do a 9-to-5 that you hate and not kill yourself. You know what I'm saying? That is insane to me.
Yeah. You know? For how long?
How long?
If you have a someday, when is that day? Like, I don't want to live in that. I'd rather be broke and an artist and quote, never make it. There's like 5 million ways to make it. So I don't have to pick accounting.
Dude, I remember I ate a pizza when I was 25 and my body shut down. I was like, oh, I don't have time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have 80 years to do this. My body's shutting down at 25. Like, you know, like.
My God, what?
No, it's like, you think, like, my idea of aging was like, you turn 80 and you feel great until you're 80 and then you die. And you just die, right? Really, is you turn 25 and everything fucking goes to shit, you know? Literally, you have diarrhea all day. And
ooh, this sounds very personal.
We don't always have diarrhea. Is this just me? But the idea that once you turn like, you know, a little old, like 26, 27, like you have to like kind of watch what you eat and stuff like that. So it's like you don't have all the time in the world. Like your energy will decrease and stuff like that. It's like, it's not like you just live a life the way you want to live. Your body has its own kind of agenda as well in terms of how it's breaking down and whatnot. So
are you eating better?
This is not about me, kinda. Come on, it's not about me.
This is only about you.
I'm eating better. I'm doing well.
You are?
Yeah.
Bullshit. What are you eating?
I eat omelet every day, avocado.
Okay.
Veggie omelet. I'll go then I'll just have some burrito. I had a burrito today, you know, but I don't do sour cream. I don't do dairy anymore.
Do you do pizza anymore? Oh,
no pizza.
Don't do
pizza. No pizza. Lactose gum in my life. And I feel great. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. Pizza's a tough one.
What, are you shitting on me and you still eat pizza?
I'm not shitting on you. I'm going, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow, in New York. Okay.
I do it.
Let's do today's poll. Have you given up on your dream?
Oh shit. That's intense. This is beautiful. This is like an intense podcast.
Yeah, I understand. You got to go for it. I understand being broke. I'll tell you what. You can put me anywhere. If I have my sleep number bed, I'll keep going and I'm never giving up. All right.
I love it.
No, this is the most comfortable bed I've ever had. And I'm not just bragging wearing Versace, Versace, Versace all over my chest and legs. I'm going to tell you how to get an affordable bed for yourself. I'm not a piece of shit. I'm a good guy.
If Keith ever ends up being homeless, he's going to have the best homeless bed.
People go, sir, can I help you? And I'll go, hold on. Zzz, and that's my head rising.
You have some change? No? Okay. Zzz, back down.
My sleep number setting, if you're curious, is 45. What I can do is adjust my bed to any softness or firmness I want at any time. In the bed I have, I can also adjust my partner's firmness or softness. And they have Sleep IQ technology, and that tells you how well you slept the night before, It tells you, hey, you didn't sleep so good from 4 a.m. to 5 a.m. Here's what we can do to adjust your bed. And you could do it right on your app. You don't have to call in a pit crew. You know what I mean? It's some exciting stuff. Sleep IQ last night, 80. Don't want to brag, but they make me. Come in now to Sleep Number. Save $200 to $600 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Listen to these beds. 360 smart beds. It doesn't go. See, my bed's like a Sleep Number 180. My bed, I go, oh, I didn't sleep so good. Let me adjust it for the next night. Now the beds adjust as you're sleeping. That's, oh,
I mean, sleep
Lord.
Is so important. It's even more important than not eating pizza.
Oh, God.
It's amazing.
I live on a couch right now, so I could use one of these.
Yeah.
That's numbers. Why you look like that?
See the latest smart beds, even more comfortably priced from $999. You'll only find Sleep Number at any of the 550 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/KATG to find a store near you. Sleepnumber.com/KATG.
Of course, if you're in the showroom, you could say you heard about them from Keith and the girl, and they'll hook you up.
It's a fun experience, actually. I'm not joking. They have all this technology in the bed. You're watching a giant computer screen. I register your pressure points.
I remember going, I'm not kidding, I went in my pajamas so that I accurately lay down on the bed and choose.
I want to do this. I've never done this before.
Oh, yeah. I took off my clothes.
Ooh. It's an experience. Yeah. I had a little bit of sex, just to see, just a little.
Let me tell you what I'm new to. A movie theater that has where the legs go up and the arm goes and the head goes back, but you still, of course, can see the screen just fine.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
You know what I do now? In New York, it's so tough to find a nap sometimes between shows that I have the movie pass now.
Yeah.
And so I just swipe up and I just take a nap in the theater.
That's so funny because as he was saying that, I was like, oh, you're going to see so many fathers and mothers sleeping like in air conditioning in the summer.
Right. Oh, it's so great.
But actually, that's a great idea. I've often spoke about, hey, movie theaters, this is a great idea. Yep. I've thought about, like, you know, in New York, you don't want to go back to your apartment if you have 2 hours. I thought of, like, could they rent a bed for just an hour at a time? And I'm like, ugh, bed bugs, gross people, masturbation, sex. Like, they can't even change the sheets fast enough. It's just going to be disgusting. What a great idea this is. And MoviePass, you're allowed to go into these things?
Yeah.
No, so it's like MoviePass is like one movie a day, free, right? You pay $10 a month. And you can basically watch a movie a day at a theater. It's kind of, you know, check in on the app. And then just, you know, go into the showtime. And so you just, I go into Isle of Dogs, one of my favorite ones, very quiet movie. You find a nice, find a nice Wes Anderson movie. You know, don't try to fall asleep during Pacific Rim 2, The Reckoning or some shit.
Right. Osama's going to start, he's going to start a movie review channel, but it'll only be like, this one's quiet, good to sleep in.
The Roger Ebert of sleep movies. Oh my God.
I actually think that would be very popular.
Any Paul Thomas Anderson movie is good because it's boring as fuck. All right, go.
I rave about this MoviePass. In fact, we got a message from somebody that works on a high level with MoviePass, and they sent a message thanking me for talking
about it. It's the best thing.
So I tell a friend, I say in New York City, a movie's like $18. One movie pays for itself. And he says, well, with that kind of business system, they're not going to be able to keep it going. And I say, who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares how they're going to, this is what they want to do. They're asking you to sign up.
Yeah.
So sign up. What do you care? Yeah. Worst case scenario, 1 month they close down. I promise they'll still give you a warning.
Dude, corporations fuck us in the butt all the time.
Right.
And they're like, hey, fuck us in the butt a little bit. And you're like, I don't know. Should I fuck it? It's like, fuck them in the butt. Right.
I don't trust their business model. Okay.
Yeah, it's such
a... I mean, if you have the lube, you have the condom, and you have the consent,
fuck them in the butt, dude. Oh, my God.
This is definitely, we're having a lot of PSAs on this particular episode.
No, if there was no such thing as MoviePass, I would start a movie app for people, and it would be movies that you can get into for free. For example, I got tickets for the Mr. Rogers movie, and there were no ticket takers for that theater. Because they were probably like, well, no one steals a Mr. Rogers movie, right? The Purge, yeah. But Mr. Rogers, they're like, we're just going to assume you bought a ticket and go in. So you would go on this app and go, hey, look, Mr. Rogers is free. Fred fell asleep at Wolverine. 620 is open right now down the street. But I don't have to mess around, is my point. MoviePass is the greatest.
That would be funny if the movies were only allowed the right demographic to watch the movies, you know? Like Passion of the Christ, they'd walk in. Any Muslims here? Please leave. Okay, this is, it's not for you.
You might learn something.
You might learn something.
By the way, so I'm at this, it was three identical strangers that I was in this movie theater where you can lay down. And you're far enough from other people, so me and my date, we're getting frisky.
Oh, yeah? How frisky?
Hands down, pants frisky.
Okay. Shut up.
Okay.
Atlantis
during
frisky?
A Mr. Rogers documentary?
No.
Okay, I was like, that's a little much. Well, it's okay to feel sad.
Won't you be my neighbor?
But she has kids, and I made some kind of autocorrect mistake texting her, and I texted her later, I keep thinking of me tasting you in the theater and your kids. A kiss! And your kiss!
Love it.
Done without that.
I got too hard. I got too hard for that one.
Ew. You know what? Even without that last autocorrect part, I really didn't want to know that. Like, I was grossed out at the beginning, then again at the end of that sentence.
Drip, drip.
No, nobody. I to taste you. Keith.
Yeah.
Ugh, did you say anything about Keith being moist?
Oh, jeez. Moist and slurp are the two most disgusting words. The two most disgusting hydro words.
It really sounds like you're speaking Arabic. It's weird.
I don't say either of those words.
I'm not gay enough to speak Arabic, I think.
No, I won't say those words if I'm in a 7-Eleven. No, those are disgusting words that you're saying.
Slurp.
But now, of course, Kendall, you got to have some fun.
I support this. I fucked in a movie theater before.
See?
Yeah.
Wait, did you guys fuck?
Me and Keith?
Now listen to Kenda.
She's disgusted.
Always going to that level.
Now she would like to know what holes. What are we talking
about? I
want to
know what tasting means.
What could it mean,
I've seen
Kenda?
A lot of signs for tastes. For tasting.
Tastes.
Although I didn't need to know that. Did you guys do it?
Yeah, right. Please don't. Yeah. Did you guys do anal?
Fake outrage nowadays. My, oh my. I did see the Purge movie. They really should, though. Close the doors and purge that whole thing.
I don't know what became, like, why is that a series even? It's not even the first Purge was the most amazing thing. It's like, right, this is a franchise now.
I think because we like the idea.
Yeah, it's premise-based.
You know, it's like the Freddy Krueger movies are terrible, terrible movies, but I like the character. I like the idea, and I think that's what the Purge is to me. And when I...
It really tells us about our society. Yeah.
Well, I was telling you, you know, I locked myself out of my apartment. I have the trouble at the Mr. Rogers Theater with this couple that won't slide over so me and my date can sit together. Of all movies, all
right.
Won't You Be My Neighbor? This couple would not slide over once.
That's so funny.
Then I need a locksmith and you know, he tries to rip me off. That becomes a whole ordeal. Then later that day, I go to see the Purge and I'm thinking, yeah, I bet I'm going to miss the point. Kill each other, you stupid motherfuckers.
You can't watch those movies on the same day. You really got to get a day spacer on that. And I, you know, for me, a long time, I think Mr. Rogers was the guy that I thought was going to be the next guy in the Me Too movement. Like, for some reason, he just seemed like too good to be true. But right. I'm so happy that he's as good as the kind of guy he is.
It's he is the biggest relief in our last century of time.
Oh, Mr. Rogers and fuck kids. Thank God. That was almost a shoo-in. That was almost like a, of course, Mr. Rogers fuck kids. He doesn't do it. He's cool as fuck. Thank God.
I do remember hearing about, like, people are like, did you hear about Mr. Rogers? And I'm like, no, okay. Okay, I'm ready. Tell me. Yeah. Well, people are loving this movie. It turns out he's a really nice guy. Did you know that he made all this effort to blah, blah, blah?
Right. Oh,
okay. God. Okay.
But there wasn't a baby. Any kids in the Mr. Rogers movie I see, but there was in The Purge. This is the world we live in, right? Now, the baby was far away from me when it was crying and people were complaining. I liked it. It added to the movie. I want everybody fighting. Good. That's fantastic. It's like it's real. So in this one, The Purge, it's called The First Year, and it's, the idea sounds like it's going to go somewhere. You know, of course, it's stupid.
Oh, where they show you what the first year of The Purge was like?
They're going to do an experiment in Staten Island. And they're going to, and then whoever wants to be part of it may be part of it. You get paid to be part of it.
You got to choose a place where if it was purged, there'd be no problems. You know?
Oh, yeah. Staten Island. New York City has 5 boroughs. And when people try to remember the 5 boroughs, they're like, what's the last one? I'm like, there's no last one. It's Staten Island. Yeah. Just light it on fire.
Damn.
I go,
okay. People board the ferry. Whoever makes it to the ferry can leave. And that's it.
Yeah. I remember your sister, Keith's sister, was moving here. And she was. I thought she was pretty stubborn about it because I'm like, hey, we're here, so please tell us before you put a deposit on something. Yeah. We will go and see the spaces before the internet was really big deal. Like before real estate was posting their shit on there. So she got a place in Staten Island. Like, you fucked up.
Right.
Does
she still live there?
No. What?
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah. Whoa. Twist.
Yeah.
Purge.
You think of the stuff that happened to you in 4 years.
Oh, God. Holy shit, Keith.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting you're old.
Now, when I name the five boroughs, I go, let's see, Queens, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Long Island. Queens is huge. And to me, that's five.
Queens is huge.
Long Island.
What's the word? It's the Bronx hustle, right? It's Manhattan grind.
LOL. Continue. Uh-huh.
But isn't that the thing? Don't they have like the words for them, right? Like, this is like a me trying to figure out New York stuff.
And what's Queens? Ethnic.
The Queens ethnic?
The ethnics.
There's, are you driving the Queens? Queens. As if it's one street, now I have to take you everywhere.
There's Staten Island. Why are you there?
Yeah. The Staten Island. Oh, God, fuck.
So these people in the theater, they're like so stupid and they're detectives, meaning somebody will put in contacts. Mm. And you'll hear all around me, more than one person, like, asking their partner, what are the contacts for?
Oh, jeez.
Now, this isn't a clever movie. Uh-huh. They are paying people to wear these contacts. If you kill people to get the purge going, that's what the government wants us to do, they will be able to see it with the contacts and they will pay you more money.
Whoa. Awesome.
They show you 10 different times these contacts, people putting them in. What could they be? Why does he have contacts? Why does he want to purge?
Yeah.
What, do you want his family history?
Yeah.
Also, isn't this movie supposed to be somewhat suspenseful? Can you let me sit in my suspense? If I haven't figured it out, let me let it work itself out.
But I just want to be clear that there's no figuring anything out.
It's just people who want to talk through movies.
You know, it's interesting. It's never a smart person who's talking through a movie. It's never someone being like, what's the symbolism of the context? It's always like, what's going on here? You know, it's interesting.
It's really like watching a movie with your parents. It's like, if you be quiet for a minute, their next line would explain all of this.
No one can feel tension anymore. No one wants to feel any sort of like uneasiness, you know? Mm-hmm. Everything's got to be in the box, filled up, nice and easy, formed up, filled out.
A nice, easy purge.
Oh, purge good. You know, that was a good movie. Right. It was really easy, you know?
But even them, like, it's confusing you why they're wearing contacts. You don't think a movie like The Purge explained it. Why does Freddy Krueger have the knives?
Can you imagine that person in, like, an actual tough movie? Like, fucking, like, anything like Devil People Blood or, like,
the Master. I need to know how Freddy Krueger got his knives. Right. I can't go on with this movie.
And, like, it's simple. What about those, like, David Lynch movies? So what's the deal with the bunny and the shadows?
But here's what I'm saying. They're so dumb and yet think they're so smart. When they light up, like let's say there's a shootout, and then the movie they show a gas tank and it says explosive. Do not shoot at me. You hear multiple people in the theater go, that's gonna blow up. Like, honest to God, I'd get up and walk out and we broke up.
You know what I do when I see stuff like that? Like, it says, you know, Donald said, foreshadowing! I know words.
Themes! Theme! When they have like a...
They're trying to make us feel. I feel nothing. I feel your presence.
They say somebody in the... You know, they run away from people. We're 15 minutes into this movie, right? And this girl goes in the movie, okay, we're safe now. Guy sitting right next to me goes, oh, no, you're not.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God.
I'm kind of that guy in the sense that in an action movie, if, say, Jason Bourne is running away from the cops and he, like, knocks on some door of some guy who's driving a car. He's like, get out. Takes him out and just drives the car.
Right.
I always think about that guy.
Me too.
I'm like, was he delivering cancer medication to his grandma?
Yes.
And now his grandma's dead because Jason Bourne's got to find the secrets.
Like, not only that, I thought, you know all the like collateral damage of like...
Transformers?
All of it. It's just like a helicopter it gets hit and then it's spinning out of control in the sky. I'm like, that's going to land somewhere.
Does he have kids? Does the pilot have kids? Was it his birthday?
Let's say the pilot aborted the thing. He landed safely. It landed on a bridge. The bridge collapsed. My commute is sucking. Like, what is happening here? No, don't mind that.
Right.
What's his face made a beautiful escape. Let's keep focusing.
Right. Jeez Louise.
The good guy in The Purge who saves the day. He happens to be a drug dealer, but you're on his side. And by being a drug dealer, apparently he's a ninja in the Navy SEAL. This guy can do everything. Well, anytime
heroin gives you powers, right, you wouldn't believe.
There's this 500-pound audience member with me who brought in, you know, their own hot dogs and, you know, candies
and shame
and cakes. Yeah. Shame seems to be the one thing they didn't bring in. And he says this. He's audible, and he's like, "You gotta jump out the window and shoot the grenade."
Really? If that's what he's got to do.
In his defense, him breathing would be audible as well.
It was. It was. The talking was good because it gave the breathing a break. Then I enjoyed it.
Did we hit everybody yet?
Yeah. Who, the fats. The,
yeah. Who
the
haven't
Jews.
We? The Arabs. Who? We'll get there. We'll get there.
Autistics. I really give a shit. I really give a shit for this fat piece of shit. Bringing in your own food. The wrappers
this
in my hair.
Arab piece of shit.
And saying what you would do as a soldier. Okay.
I just realized the dynamic. You are the woke and you are the anti-woke. I just realized this.
Let's just let them guess who you're right.
I just realized this. Oh my God.
No, Kenda's fake and I'm real.
I love it. Oh, roast.
Charge the movie based on the movie, right? Not every movie's $18.75.
Oh, for sure.
Okay. I saw Ant-Man. That was $6.75.
That's your review.
What movie is $18, actually? Truly.
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List, and that's it. That's
Now they have in Ant-Man, he has the you know, guns that can make objects small and make objects big. And okay, let me let go, I guess, of the problem that how does the gun know when the object ends?
Yeah.
Is this the origin story of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
How does the gun know, let me just, shorten the chassis of the car and not the wheel? You know, everything's touching everything. Why wouldn't the whole world shrink? But okay. But
okay, Newton. Oh my God. But
right. I didn't mean to get too...
So obviously, not according to third law of...
I didn't mean to get so deep. As a scientist,
it's almost like if it's like a movie almost. Like it's almost like it's a, it's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be that guy, but. Right.
But why not like everything then? This is what I don't get. So people make fun of me, Keith. It's called Ant-Man. It's right. Like, then what do you care about anything? Why is the new Jurassic Park getting poor reviews if you like shit?
Right.
You know, why isn't The Purge going to win an Oscar if you're okay with just shrinking shit whenever you want? So throughout the movie, they have Pym, the inventor, you know, the creator of the ant suit. He has his laboratories and all this stuff, important stuff is in the laboratory and everybody's fighting over the laboratory. So how do you fight over a building? Well, they shrink the building and the building's being thrown all around the world. People are, you know, reaching out, grabbing it. Then every time they make the building big again, shit's not thrown all over. Everything would be all over the place and broken. Like, oh, we have our supplies back. Oh, wait, everything's broken.
We just killed a family of 19. Yeah.
Yeah, we can't be throwing shit around. We should have checked when the janitor was in the building.
Can they shrink people?
Yes.
Mm. That's what Incredibles deals with. Incredibles 2. Mm-hmm. Literally, it deals with that trope of heroes destroying cities while saving them.
Right.
They deal with that. There's like a whole kind of storyline.
But I'm not some... And I saw that movie.
Yeah.
And I love that movie. So I'm not some shithead that goes, really? A baby can turn into fire? No, I mean...
I don't know about that. My friend Isaac Newton would have a couple of things to say about that.
Right. Do you get into the World Cup?
I love it. Oh, love it.
Do you know who the last four people are as of press time?
Can I guess?
England?
Damn it.
England. Oh, yeah, come to guess.
Okay.
England's one of them.
France?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Now, why did you say guess and then you're surprised you got one?
Yeah. Oh, I'm amazed by me. It's got to be a Spain. Like, I don't know, Spain?
No.
Fuck.
That's the biggest story of this World Cup is that all the Spanish teams are losing.
Oh, okay. Canada? What?
The Spanish team of Canada.
No, I mean, if the Spanish team isn't winning, I wouldn't think Canada, but I wanted to give them some
love. Right. Give them some love.
I don't know. Israel?
It's not a real country. Okay. You spelled Palestine wrong, Canada. Boom! Sorry.
That's so funny because you take the Arab out of my name and then fucking shit on me.
I know, I love it. I have no affiliations. Whatever the joke, quickest way to the joke is where I go. And people don't.
I'm for whoever chops their salad the smallest. It takes work, and those are the guys I love. Meanwhile, they both chop Mexican.
Woo! I love it.
I go for whoever's falafel is green on the inside.
The final four, France, Belgium, Croatia, and England.
Love it.
And I see that, you know, I'm looking this up online because I don't really follow it. And you see that each team has their one guy.
Yeah.
You know, the England player that got in six goals. You see a game, there's never 6 points total.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're doing all the work. And I did soccer in school. And we knew you passed it to Sean Livingston. And that was the end of it.
And that's why we called it did soccer. And Sean Livingston played soccer.
Right, right. He was soccer. Yeah.
He was soccer. I was in it for the Orange Wedges. Right. You know, I remember once.
Really? There was Capri Suns, then you went for the Orange Wedges.
During.
Really? You were that guy.
Oh, Keith. Those were so good.
Oh, God. There was M&M's right there. And you're like, no, I'll have the Orange Wedges, please. Oh, God.
It was home. A simple time.
Yes.
I get home and I check the newspaper and it says who scored in the game the day before. And it said Keith Malley, one assist. And I'm like, really? Okay. Time to buy a scrapbook. I don't remember that. Okay. I mean, if you keep kicking it, it's going to get to somebody.
Keith yelled, yeah, after the goal was scored. Right. And then we counted it as an assist.
So there's 32 teams in the World Cup.
Yeah.
In 2026... when North America hosts it, Canada, America, and Mexico, there will be 48 teams, which is the right thing to do. If we're hosting let us play in
please.
It.
Please. The only way we'll play in it is if we're the 48th team that's in. <Yeah.
laughs> Do you follow, I mean, how don't you follow the Thai boys that are stuck in a cave?
Yeah. Didn't they get some of them out?
Yeah, there's 8 rescued now of 12, so I assume that they're going to get them all out.
I don't know. I mean, that's crazy. It's the fact that I don't know why they didn't rescue all of them. I don't know how cave rescues work really exactly.
Probably slowly.
Probably not all in one day. But in my mind, I'm such an idiot. I'm like, why didn't they rescue all the boys in the same day?
Right. As soon as they have a hole, just crawl out.
Just crawl out. That's my idea. It's a cave. Get out. Just follow the light. The light's there.
Because the cave.
Osama, tell us about the cave.
Respect the light. Respect the light. You know, you see the light in the cave. You have 1 minute to get out. Get out.
So it's been 17 days. 8 boys are rescued.
It's a bad set. That's what it is.
Ages 11 to 16. The coach, 25 years old. Now, how did they get in the cave in the first place? Good question.
I have no idea. They were Thai?
There was soccer practice.
Oh,
and,
shit.
And then they said, hey, okay, practice is done. Let's go spelunky. I remember when I took football and then we'd go deep sea diving. But what are you doing in a cave?
Man, it's Friday night. Bull run, anybody?
Right.
Well, they didn't know where the orange wedges were, so they followed their hearts.
So they have to.
That's what happens when you try to find orange wedges. Only bad things, Keith. Okay.
Because of the water, they have to put oxygen tanks every 30 yards. I mean, it's a huge, huge distance. The person that put the tanks down used to be a Navy SEAL. He died putting the tanks down. Of all things,
so crazy.
He didn't get enough oxygen.
Yeah. Put the oxygen on yourself first.
He was a retired Navy SEAL. So the skills weren't really fresh, let's just say.
But obviously you take the weakest kids out first. That's why I think all of them are going to be saved.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we'll see. And then you got Elon Musk. He's designing new technology. But he better hurry up, though, because they're getting these kids out.
To slice oranges to make the perfect wedges after games.
Elon Musk sent a team of 9 engineers to assist in the rescue efforts. He described a pod that he designed as basically a tiny kid-sized submarine using the liquid oxygen transfer tube of Falcon rockets as hull. That's how I do it. Yeah. Also building an inflatable tube with airlocks, you know, a little backup of naturally. Yeah. Natch.
Natch life.
Right. Wow. See, I think those kids will all be saved.
I'm excited. Yeah.
We'll see. What else did I want to tell you about? I think that's everything.
While you're looking through, Osama, you are the first person that I have faith in that might beat Keith in our after show exclusive on YouTube.
What? What is this?
Yeah. So what we do is I watch a trailer and I know nothing about movies.
Okay.
But it seems like you do. And so I watch a trailer on silent. I describe it to you guys. And the first person to guess what movie it is wins nothing but pride.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not sure that anyone has beat Keith yet.
Keith's pretty good. I like movies. I'm not super up to date, but I love movies. So whenever I get a chance to watch trailers and stuff, I do. So I might. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you named more shit than anyone has named in the entire history of us doing this.
Really? That was easy.
It is MoviePass versus MoviePass.
I love MoviePass, dude.
Okay. You're like, shit, I was sleeping during that one.
People don't. But my body knew. My pineal gland is ready to play with this game.
Here's what I was looking at. Speaking of Thailand, a woman in Thailand chopped off her husband's penis after catching him stepping out on her. She's 24. The man is 40.
Oh, jeez. So it wasn't working anyway, huh?
Right.
Anyway.
It was a carving knife.
Boy, you really are 20-something.
I know.
Yes, surgeons were unable to reattach it. Well, hey, no hard feelings. Usama Siddiqui. You want to follow on Twitter, at Usama Bin Laughing. The website is?
UsamaStandsUp.com.
UsamaStandsUp.com.
I can't believe you have to add anything to your name. I got Khemda.com, at Khemda.
Like, really?
You didn't get at Usama?
Oh, shit. I didn't even realize that. I didn't even try that. I want to add a little more spice to it, I guess.
If you send her snail mail, you just rate Khemda on.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not exaggerating.
13 C's, yeah. 9 H's, and then just right. Forget it. The other letters are optional.
Usama, thanks again, by the way, for opening up my stand-up show. That was a lot of fun.
So fun, dude. So fun.
Everybody loved it. You're great.
Thank you, too, man.
There you go. Okay.
Good times. That was a compliment from Keith. That was great.
If you guys want more, catch us on YouTube. The name is Keith and the Girl. That's all you got to look up. We'll see you there. KeithandTheGirl.com.